Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Today, we present to you the 7th episode of The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope. We get another nice coincidence this week. Last week's episode just happened to be timed for Halloween, and this week's show originally aired on Election Day in 1938, November 8th, to be exact. So, we get to hear some timely election jokes, and that should do us all good after all the bad humor of this latest election cycle. The show's special guest was Chico Marx. We'll get to know him a bit better after the show.
We're glad we got you in, for now we can begin. Bob Hope brings you his last review, and smiles are here again.
Ah, thank you so much, and welcome you all to our fun shop. While we manufacture the laughter, it's Pepsodent sales that we're after. To make you smile, the more worthwhile.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Hope back again for the GOP. Good old Pepsodent. Tonight I'm just a lull between election returns. You know, there's been so many campaign speeches on the air lately, I turned on my radio last night and it handed me a cigar. And what those politicians say about each other, it sounded like they were doing their Christmas wrapping early. Well, election day is almost over and I'm pretty tired. My uncle ran for office in Eagle Knob, California, and I've been voting all day. But it doesn't pay to be honest. I voted 12 times a day and I only got paid for 10. When my uncle got through voting, the ballot box was so stuffed it had to take 6 bicarbonates of soda. My uncle isn't exactly crooked. I'd say he was sort of a pretzel with skin. When he was running for office last year, he said he'd do the public good, and when he was elected, he kept his word. He did them good. Oh, but you'd like him. He's a great man. He came up from the gutter, and boy, is he homesick. He's a very thorough politician. 2 hours before the polls open, he put in his application for a recount of the recount. He had so many cigars in his pocket, he looked like a pipe organ. But I want to take this opportunity to thank the 26 intelligent, honest, right-thinking voters of Eagle Knob who voted for my uncle. The other 2,000 know what they can do. But the people are really slow in Eagle Knob. I entered the polling booth there, pulled back the curtain on the voting machine, and what do you think I found? A guy still voting for Hoover. Oh, but that's enough of that. Phil, tell the ladies and gentlemen who's elected to entertain the Pepsodent voters tonight.
Well, Bob, we have one of the famous Marx brothers, Chico Marx, and in our usual roundup, Skinny Ennis and his band, the mad professor Jerry Colonna, through the courtesy of Warner Brothers, Six Hits and a Miss, and Bob Hope.
Oh, that's Phil Goodwin, ladies and gentlemen, the big outdoor man. We went up to his cabin in the woods over the weekend to do a little deer hunting. I came back without a buck. Reminds me of Santa Anita. But boy, I said, there's nothing like getting out in the open. I love to go hunting in the woods. It fills me with something. Buckshot. But it's marvelous up there around Phil's cabin. The deers eat right out of your hand. Here in Hollywood, they eat right out of your pocketbook. Isn't that a slick line? Oh, but I tell you, the first day Goodwin shot at a moose, he came so close, he shot the milk pail right out from under it. Second day out, I came face to face with a bear. It was pretty horrible for both of us. It was a very old bear. It didn't have a tooth in its mouth. They were all in my arms. Bill shot at the bear 15 times without hitting it. Suddenly, the bear ran in the woods and came out a second later with a large red bullseye over its heart.
Well, anyway, the trip was a success. All except the last day. I fell on a porcupine.
Really? Did you get the needles?
Well, Bob, I have so many needles in me, every time I eat spaghetti, my stomach knits a sweater.
Hiya, fellas.
Hiya, Skinny. Say, Skinny, did you ever hunt bear?
Yeah, but I don't like it. It's a leaf pickle. Yeah, but I'm disappointed in you, Bob.
Why, what about Skinny?
Well, you know that bird dog you sold me?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't sing a note.
What a hunter, Skinny. You couldn't bring down a duck off a meat hook.
Well, everybody liked you up there, Bob.
Really, Bill?
Uh-huh. Even the parrot in my cabin.
The parrot?
Yeah, he woke me up in the middle of the night and said, "Is that Bob Hope, the comedian?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yes."
Yeah.
So the parrot laid an egg as big as an ostrich and said, "Let me see him top that."
Thank you, Bill. And now our six tips of the mist are going to sing out Johnny Mercer's version of the musical football player Jamboree Jones. Take it, talent.
I begin a story out in West Virginia in a little college. All the student body only cares football, never mind the knowledge. Never mind the sheepskin, they prefer the pigskin, seem to have it in their bones. They know all about it, couldn't live without it, all except a certain Mr. Jamboree Jones. He played the clarinet with all his might. He studied night and day, he practiced day and night. Not the field for Mr. Jones. He'd rather run up the scale and down the scale. What comes? Meanwhile, the team marched on to greater fame. Till they were asked to play the famous Pro Bowl game. Oh, roses! And on that day of days, the students beamed. What did they do when the team marched on the field? I want to tell you, ladies and you gentlemen, they screamed. Rock, 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 it's boomba, bop, bop, the ala, yay, boom. Watch them go. Starting from the kickoff, faithful, every kickoff, they couldn't win it. Instead of going forward, they were going backward, 5 miles a minute. Seeing their position, they called intermission. They heard the referee say,
17 to nothing, ain't exactly nothing.
You've got 5 minutes to play. And from the stand, there came a distant wail. And it was Jamboree.
Swinging, holding nails.
Oh, we lost. And then the students, they began to yell. The players marched up the field and down the field. Pell mell, and today in the Hall of Fame, still proclaims the hero's name. Jamboree, they can't forget. What a football game with a clarinet.
In 1754, a certain young Englishman received a letter from his father, which read, "I hope you take great care of your teeth, and that you clean them well every morning and after every meal. But I do insist that you never use any of those sticks or hard substances which always rub away the gums and destroy the varnish of the teeth." And who do you think wrote this letter in 1754? It was none other than the famous Lord Chesterfield. Now, fortunately, the sticks and hard cleaning substance he speaks of have completely disappeared from modern American life. But the rest of Lord Chesterfield's advice is as important today as it was nearly 200 years ago. Think how he would have greeted Pepsodent toothpaste containing Irium. Irium is the cleansing agent found only in Pepsodent of all toothpaste. Gently, quickly, effectively, it helps Pepsodent toothpaste brush away stubborn surface stains, leaving your teeth gleaming with natural brilliance. And always remember, Pepsodent toothpaste containing Irium is safe in its action on teeth. Safe for children, safe for adults, because it contains no grit, no drugs, no bleach. Try Pepsodent today and see how effectively it reveals the true beauty of your teeth.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we take great pleasure in presenting one of the foremost comedians of Hollywood, one of the famous Marx brothers, whom you saw recently in the great RKO picture Room Service. Here he is, Chico Marx.
Thank you very much.
Well, so long, Bob. Wait a minute, Chico, what are you leaving for?
When the people applaud, that's enough for me.
Wait a minute, we gotta do a show.
I know, but I gotta go home and learn how to play the piano.
Well, can't you learn how to play next week?
No, next week I'm giving a concert.
Yeah, well, what about our audience? You've got to do something for them.
Okay.
Wait a minute, Chico. This is no place to sell ice cream.
Why not? We need some good humor around here. Besides, Bob, I got to make us some money.
But, Chico, you're getting a check for this program.
Whose check?
My check. Look, Chico, what are you going to do tonight?
Well, I think I just stand in the back and hit.
Well, you'll have plenty of company.
Well, goodbye, Bob. I must go home now.
Say, Chico, you like that house of yours, don't you? How many bedrooms have you got?
Bedrooms? Let me see. We got no bedrooms.
No bedrooms? What do you sleep in at night?
In my nightshirt.
Some joke, eh, boy? Yeah, I think it's my turn to stand back here and hit. Say, have you got any bathtubs in the house?
Well, I tell you, we got a new plan. We got a shower right over the bed.
Shower right over the bed?
Mm-hmm. All we got to do in the morning is to turn the water on, and then we don't get wet.
Well, why don't you get wet?
We don't sleep in the bed.
Look, Chico, if you don't sleep in the bed, where do you sleep?
In the park.
Yeah, but if you sleep in the park, what do you need the house for?
Well, we got to have some place to keep the beds.
I don't know, but that sounds kind of stupid.
Yeah, I got that from my uncle. He was a kind of stupid too. Way over like this.
I get it, Chico.
Well, it's so long, Bob. I gotta go now. I'm just itching to go home.
Now, wait a minute, Chico. You gotta play the piano.
All right, so where was I?
Well, you were just itching.
Okay, we start from scratch. Wait, I'm taking my coat off.
All right, say that's a nice coat, but why do you wear it inside out like it?
The other side belongs to Groucho. He's wearing it.
I wish I was with him. Ladies and gentlemen, Chico Marx will now play his own arrangement of an original composition based on the Second Hungarian Rhapsody by Franz Liszt.
You want to buy a ticket for the Rose Bowl football game?
For the Rose Bowl? I'll say how much?
Well, for you, $5.
$5? $5.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's your $5.
Okay, here's your piece.
Yeah. A piece? Wait a minute. How about the rest of the ticket?
Well, that's no good. I can't make a much profit selling a whole ticket.
Well, you only gave me the top part of the ticket.
That's all right. You only sit on the top part of the seat. Bob, I forgot to tell you. You know, you got to go to see for that football game right in the middle.
In the middle?
Uh-huh. Yeah, right behind the middle of the scoreboard.
Behind the scoreboard? But how do I see the game from there?
Well, I tell you. I sell you a nice brace and a bit. Then you make a nicer hole for yourself.
I'm in the hole now. How much does that cost?
$4.25.
$4.25 for a brace and bit?
Yeah, $4 for the brace and 2 bits for the bit. Yeah.
I wish Groucho was here to give me an answer for that one.
I miss him more than you do. Hey, Bob.
Sounds like Harpo. It's all right, Chico. Anybody can drop a script. Go ahead. It's all right.
I know, but I saw those jokes before.
You'll see him again, too.
Hey, Bob.
What's that?
I'm going to do you a real big favor.
Oh, don't go home too early, Chico.
No, I'm going to let you have a pair of field glasses for the game.
Well, Chico, I'm not so sure I can afford it. How much are you going to let me have them for?
Very cheap, only 25 cents.
Well, that's reasonable enough.
Now, how about some lenses for the glasses? $50.
Look, Chico, how much would you charge me if I don't go to the game?
Well, what seat are you not going to sit in?
How about not sitting on the 50-yard line?
That's no good. There are too many people not sitting there now. Should be in the way.
Hey, Bob, we got some more jokes.
Well, here we go again. What is it now, Chico?
I got a something else you need very badly at the game.
What is it, a radio?
No, it's a map. Shows you how to get to go out to the game.
Well, that's a good idea, Chico. Oh, I think it's a little late to put on your glasses. Look, Chico, it's pretty crowded on New Year's Day. Let's take a look at that map.
Here you are. Now look. You take a number 66... and you go out about a 4 mile.
Uh-huh.
That brings you to 33.
Yeah.
Now you go out of 33 about 2 miles. Now 66 and a 33, that makes a 99. Now you're on the right road. Now you take a 99 for 280 miles, and that brings you to the Grand Canyon. Oh, boy, that's a beauty.
Say, that gives me an idea, Chico. I've never been there, and I'll need a vacation about New Year's. Is there any fishing?
Sure, fishing and a hunting. You want to buy a license?
I was afraid of that. Wait till I go home and sell my annuity. Say, maybe you'd like to buy these football tickets back.
No, thanks.
I'll let you have them for $3 a piece.
No, thank you.
Oh, all right. You can have them for nothing. I won't need them now.
No, I don't want them.
What's the matter? Don't you want to see the game?
I saw the game. California won, 13 to nothing.
Wait a minute. That's the score of last year's game.
That's all right. You got a last year's ticket.
Yeah. Sings that beautiful number by Larry Clinton, My Reverie, based on a theme by Claude Debussy. Okay, Skinny, take.
How long is a dream in my reverie? I can see that this love never stood in a world of romance to be so cruel as you are to me. I do always wish I could do without you. Life will never begin to be so lovely as I love you in my reverie. Make my dream reality. Let your sense with formality complete in my reverie. Love you in my reverie. Make my dream reality. Let this sense with formality come to me in my reverie. In my reverie.
How's
the sunshine of your smile tonight a little clouded over, maybe looking just a little sad? Well, then why not decide to swing over to Pepsodent tooth powder containing Irium? Pepsodent, and only Pepsodent of all tooth powders, contains Irium, the new cleansing agent. And Irium is the remarkable discovery that helps Pepsodent remove stubborn surface stains from your teeth. At least twice a day, night and morning, every day of your life, use Pepsodent tooth powder and you'll be rewarded. It won't be long before you'll say you never dreamed your teeth could sparkle so, and you never knew your mouth could feel so fresh, so clean as it does when Pepsodent tooth powder containing Irium is always on the job. Best of all, Pepsodent powder containing Irium is safe in its action on teeth because it contains no grit, no drugs, no bleach. So if you want these effective cleansing results, try Pepsodent tooth powder with Irium. Although it's made him dizzy, that old bush leaguer Bob Hope is going around in circles to give you his version of Stop Beating Round the Mulberry Bush. All right, circulate, Bob.
Say, Bill.
Yes, yes, Bob.
I'm in trouble. I got a summons for $50,000.
You did? What's the matter?
Well, look, last week I called up my girl and I told her to stop beating around the mulberry bush and to come right out and tell me she loves me.
Yeah?
I asked her to marry me and she accepted.
Well, I don't see any breach of promise there.
Yeah, but I had the wrong number.
Well, boy, this is serious, Bob. What you need is a good lawyer.
What I need is $50,000.
Listen, I know just the man for you.
Well, one thing, is he good?
Is he good? Why, he got my sentence cut down from 90 to 60 days.
Really?
Gee, for having one headlight out, too.
Oh, that's wonderful. If you ever go through a red light, let me know and I'll give you a farewell party.
Come on, Bob, let's go. Well, here it is, Bob. Law offices of Cohen, Goldfarb, Cohen, and O'Cavity.
How did O'Cavity get in there?
He put up the money. Let's go in.
Hey, gosh, it's dark in here. Oh, pardon me.
That's all right. I'm only the desk.
I wish they'd turn the lights on.
We never do that during lunch hour.
Why not?
The bosses get jealous when they see me eat. Hello, law offices of CGC and OK. A divorce? What time would you like, Reno, Mexico, or radio? What's a radio divorce? When you get married again, we guarantee you a spot on the Eddie Cantor program. Goodbye.
Say, look, miss, my friend Bob Hope wants to hire a good lawyer.
Well, you better try someone else. The last case he defended was Paul Revere for parking his plug in front of a plug.
Ah, a case. Come right in. Have a seat. Have a cigar. Have an accident?
Are you attorney O'Cavity?
Yes, and you can't lose. It's an open and shut case. You were home alone that night reading a book.
Uh-huh.
Now I'll call Central Casting and get two witnesses who were with you.
Very nice, but I have a breach of promise suit on my hands.
Breach of promise? She can't do that to you. Promising to marry you? Breaking your heart? Leaving you crushed and broken like a secondhand Dixie cup? We'll sue for $20,000.
That's well, but there's just one catch.
What's that?
She's suing me for $50,000.
Oh, lucky me. We'll make a settlement. Let's say $25,000 for her and $25,000 for me.
Wait a minute. Where will I get the money?
Haven't you entered the movie quiz?
Say, what a lawyer. He probably went through law school on a student tour.
Oh, pardon me. There goes another ambulance. This trial. Hold on to the customer while I do a little road work.
Say, don't tell me attorney O'Cavity's an ambulance chaser.
Mister, he's been chasing ambulances so long, he has roller skates on his briefcase.
Oh, darn those ambulance drivers. Put grease on the running board again. Say, what were you saying before they rang for me?
I said I was being sued.
Well, that's nothing, so Sally ran.
Yeah, but she'll probably wiggle out of it.
Say, how about making out your will? Only $25 extra. Uh-oh, there it goes again.
Wait a minute, I'm going with you this time.
Okay, hang on, we'll wrap off the courthouse.
Say, boy, this is a busy court. Listen to the hustle and bustle.
Hello, Hustle.
Hello, Bustle.
The sixth session of the Court of Sessions is in session, and I do mean session. Yeah, man.
I
There's the girl right over there, Susie Sapina. We all call her Sweet Sue. Hello, Sue.
Hello, Cavity. Well, here we are again.
Here you are, giddy old crack-a-crack, popcorn alibi, sale bonds, and a footsie-footsie ice cream. Who's that?
That's the girl's lawyer, Ravelli.
Hey, boss, do you call me?
Yeah, I want to make a deal with you.
That's fine. How about draw poker? Here's your card.
My card?
I got a 5 aces. I think I'll open. What do you got? I got a headache.
Ravelli, if you were my lawyer, I'd say you were crazy.
Yes,
as a matter of fact, if you were my lawyer, I'd say I was crazy. Sounds just like Groucho, no?
No.
Tell me, why is your client suing me for breach of promise?
I'm running a special on the breach of promise this week. Next week, a habeas corpus with green flowers.
With green flowers?
Yeah, habeas Irish rose. Some joke, eh?
No.
No. I object.
I read anybody's lines. What are you... What are you objecting for? The trial hasn't started.
Well, I'm just warming up.
Fire in the court. Order. The judge is about to appear.
Greetings, Gates. Let's arbitrate. Hello, Sue. How are you?
Hello, Judge.
Well, where were you on the night of October 25th?
At home.
You should have been with us. What a brawl. Is the jury present?
Hello, Judge.
Sue, you remember the boys.
Sure. Hiya, fellas.
Hello, Sue. What new?
I'll give 3-1 I lose this case.
That's no good. You can get 12-1 from the jury.
Judge Colonna, I think this...
30 days!
But Judge, that isn't...
60 days.
Wait a minute. You can't give me 60 days.
Ah, yes, Knave. My time is your time. Bring the defendant and the plaintiff to the bar.
You promise to tell the truth, all truth, nothing but... And see your dentist twice a year.
I do. I now pronounce you man and wife. I object. You're here to dispense justice.
Very well. Justice will be dispensed with. Continue with the case. It's your shot, Mr. Ravelli.
Okay, I take the witness. Hey, Hope, where were you on the night of February the 30th?
There wasn't any night of February the 30th.
Oh, so you stole that too, eh? I'm ashamed.
I'm not exactly proud of you either, Ravelli.
I object.
Objection overruled.
All right, I object again.
Objection overruled.
That's fine. Now I got a pair of overrules.
Judge, I'm getting sick and tired of this case.
Yeah, come on, Judge. Stop beating around the mulberry bush and settle this case once and for me.
Silence. I have reached a decision.
Oh, coming.
I'm afraid to listen. What kind of a trial is this, anyway? Am I going to get justice?
Ah, justice. Just as a famous justice once said.
Quote. Quote.
Unquote.
Oh, there she goes again. Quick, where's my waistcoat?
Hey, that's for my case.
Just a minute, Shyster. What about my case?
And what about my case?
I object.
You can't object. You're the judge.
Objection overruled. I'm throwing this case right out of court.
What happened, Judge?
I forgot to let go of the cane.
Excuse me, Bob. Oh, Bob. What have we for next week?
Oh, well, next week we're really going to town, Bill. We have that man with us.
Yeah, that man?
That man, Groucho Marx. He's coming over and explain the whole thing. Then we'll have our regular cast, Skinny Anderson's band, 6 hits and a miss, Jerry Colonna, Bill Goodman.
And Bob Hope.
Thank you. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Until next Tuesday night at the same time, the President Company bids you good night. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Chico Marx. Yes, his name reads Chico, and many people pronounce it that way. Bob Hope did on this episode, but he got the name Chico during a 1915 card game, and it stayed his stage name. One of the ways we know it was pronounced Chico is that Groucho said so during a live performance at Carnegie Hall in 1972. He states that his brother got the name Chico because he was a chicken chaser. Well, women have been called chicks in 20th century slang. He was born Leonard Marx, on March 22, 1887, and was the oldest of the brothers. If you don't know who the Marx brothers are, then I will attempt to fill this gap in your education. There were five Marx brothers: Chico, Harpo, Groucho, Gummo, and Zeppo. Those were all their stage names, of course. They were all in vaudeville, but Gummo left the act to serve in World War I. The remaining four were on Broadway and then in five films together. After those five movies, Zeppo left to go into business like Gummo did after he had served in World War I. There were eight more films with just Chico, Harpo, and Groucho. I'll post a list of their films on our website under today's show. If you have not seen those incredibly hilarious movies, I encourage you to do so soon. Chico's personal life was not quite as happy as his on-screen persona of the happy-go-lucky Italian. As well as being a compulsive womanizer, Chico had a lifelong gambling habit. His addiction cost him a fortune, and he ended up living on an allowance given to him by his brothers, while his brothers all lived in wealthy retirement. While Chico may not have ended his life as a wealthy man, he certainly made all of our lives richer with his timeless comedy. Well, that's it for today. Please join us next Wednesday for another show with Bob Hope, and come back on Friday for another episode of The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix. Please send your questions and comments to host@classiccomedyotr.com, and don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/classiccomedyotr. And check us out at our website, classiccomedyotr.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. So, until Friday, in the immortal words of Chico Marx, come and get your ice cream. Come and get your tootsie-a-fruitsie ice cream.